Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You are listening to the Garden Hotline on the last Saturday in September on KMOX, and we're talking trees. Mark Gruber is a community forester for the St. Louis region with the Missouri Department of Conservation, and he has many years of expertise in answering your questions about trees. 314-436-7900. Mike, you've been patient, and now it's your turn.
Hey, good morning. A question on a couple trees in my yard. I have a red bud. I live in the city out front between the sidewalk and the street. And it has a low branch that I want to get out of the way of the sidewalk. And I was wondering when the best time is to cut that branch off.
Yeah, you can do that, again, in the dead winter time is the best time. But if it is located there, you could also call the city and have them take care of that for you.
Yeah, that never works, but that's okay. So it doesn't matter if it's really cold already. Like somebody said, the sap, you don't want it too cold because the sap won't scab over or something.
But yeah,
it's okay if I did it in the dead of winter.
It is. Yeah, that's again some of that kind of misinformation that's out there. So sometimes trees will leak a little sap, especially as you get more into the late winter, early spring. It doesn't really cause any harm to the tree. It's more unsightly than anything else. But if you shoot for December, January, February, you'll be fine and dandy. And if you like, there's some information on our website, mdc.mo.gov, on pruning. It'll show you where to do it and talk about the best time and all that kind of good stuff.
Okay, and I have a large banana tree, and it's like one giant bulb that I dig up every year. And mm-hmm. This year, there's probably five decent-sized trees coming out of that same bulb.
Mm-hmm.
So when I dig that up, can I split that? And if I can split it, how do I split it?
Yeah, it's my understanding that you can. I had a banana tree myself. I'm not going to say that this is necessarily in my wheelhouse, but yeah, you should be able to split those off. It should be kind of obvious where they're emerging out. And if you need to take something like a sharpshooter, so that, you know, a shovel with that long spade on it, and that's pretty sharp, you can cut it with that, but you should be able to separate it out into those individual stems. Again, I'd wait about a month or so, get into November a little bit before.
Okay,
you
so
that.
Even if there's a freeze, like it's okay to dig it up after that.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't. You don't want to let it freeze if it's a hard freeze. So if it's getting down into the mid 20s, you want to get it inside, but. Just monitor the weather, make sure we're not going to hit a hard freeze. If not, then you're fine.
Okay, and lastly, I have a large pin oak in the backyard. I want somebody to trim it, but I want them to know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I assume I do that in the winter, but all the leaves will be gone in the winter. So who would you recommend that I go to on something like the large pin oak getting trimmed?
Sure, yeah, I can't recommend a specific company.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
But again, if you go to the public website for the International Society of Arboriculture, it's real easy. It's just treesaregood.com. And there'll be a tab that says find an arborist. And you click on that and type in your zip code, and it's going to bring up all the arborists that have a professional certification through that professional organization within a 50-mile radius. I always tell people to call three or so and talk to them. Ask them questions and ask why a lot. And if they can't answer you when you ask them, hey, why are you saying this, then move on to the next company.
All right, great. Thanks for all your info today.
You bet.
All right, thanks, Mike. Up next, we have Mary. Mary, your question for Mark.
Good morning. I have a newer neighbor, and they took down a large oak tree that was about maybe 15 feet from my property line. And then they ran their sprinkler all the time last summer. When I would dig in the ground to try and my ground was sopping wet on my side. And when I dug in to try and make a little berm, the mud just went, you know, made that sucking sound and was moldy smelling. And then I lost a rising sun red bud that was about 10 feet from the property line. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far down does that water go? Because I'm down about a foot and a half, it seems like, and it's still sopping wet. This is before we had all the rain.
Yeah, sure. So that completely depends on the type of soil that you have. And there's soil structure and soil texture. And it really just depends on how much infiltration you're going to get. And if your soil is pretty loose, you're going to get infiltration, good infiltration. That can go many feet down if you've got good infiltration. If you've got a clay pan or like a hardened area from maybe past farming or something that would have occurred on that property, you know, 100, 150 years ago, then it may only go down a certain distance and then start to actually run sideways. It's really difficult to be able to tell that unless you start digging up your yard. So I wouldn't recommend doing that. But that soil saturation, if you're getting that rotten egg smell, that's bad because that means you don't have any soil oxygen. And one of the things that people don't really understand very well is that tree roots need oxygen in the soil as much as they need water. They need a good combination of both. And you can drown out trees actually pretty easy. There's a lot of trees that unfortunately that are killed with kindness because people overwater.
Right. We lost a beautiful rising sun redbud from that. So any ideas what I can do? I mean, people have said, you know, dig down and put gravel, but then I don't know how far down to go. And I don't really have much of a slope that I could go down deep and angle it towards the street because it would be too deep.
Yeah, you can try a French drain of some kind. So basically a trench with rock in it and in a perforated pipe that's going to drain the water off. That can get...
Where would the water go? Just down?
Yeah, I mean, without knowing your yard, it's okay. Obviously going to have to go downhill somewhere. But you just want to try to route it away from where it is currently, so that you're not getting
that
saturation.
Do you know any companies that do this?
Most any landscaping company out there. Again, as with the last caller, I would say call like three or four of them, have them come in, talk to them about it, and when they recommend something, ask the question why a lot. And if they can't explain it to you, then you move on to the next company.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Mary. We appreciate you joining the conversation, and we will go next to Larry. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. I have two quick questions, I think. I planted a couple of Japanese maples in my son's yard, bought them half price at one of the big box stores, and some of the leaves, some of the branches look pretty rough. I don't know whether I should trim those off or just leave them till spring. And then my second question is, I have another Japanese maple, beautiful tree. I planted it in the wrong spot a few years ago, and I'm going to try to move it. I know it's iffy. I know to get the biggest fall. When should I do that? If I don't know if it's got a chance at all.
Yeah, okay. So the first one, when you say the limbs look rough, do you mean they're dead? Are they devoid of leaves right now?
They've lost their leaves.
Okay.
They look like they may or may not make it, and I don't know whether I should trim them off to try to shape up the tree a bit.
Right.
For the spring, or just leave it and see what happens.
Yeah, so you could do real easy, just called the scratch test. So just take your thumbnail and just kind of lightly scrape it along the bark. If it scratches green, then leave the limbs. If they don't, then go ahead and prune them off. And you want to wait until the dead of winter to do that. As far as moving a Japanese maple, again, the important thing is going to be to dig as big of a root ball as you can physically lift, and move it, and make sure that soil doesn't break apart, because that's when you're going to lose your fine roots. But coming up here probably mid-November, you know, once it starts to cool down and we're getting some freezes, the leaves are off the tree, that's when you can go ahead and that's going to be your best time to move it.
So when I move it, would I really water it well, or just kind of move it and let it sink in for a day or two, then water it, or just leave it alone?
No, water it. As soon as you get it in the spot and get it planted, water it in. You always want to water in a newly planted tree or one that you're moving, because it helps to get some of those air pockets out of there that you know, occurs when you backfill. So, yeah, give it a good soaking, even if it's just recently rained or going to rain. Still go ahead and give it a good soaking.
Mix some good cow manure in there too, or just humus, or what?
You don't need to. I always tell people that you want to use the soil that you took out of the hole. If the site that you're moving it to is that bad that you think you need to add something, you probably ought to pick a different site.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Larry. Thank you for calling in and asking your question to Mark Gruber, community forester for the St. Louis region with the Missouri Department of Conservation. We have some more calls to get to. Great questions about trees this morning. Stay tuned to the Garden Hotline on KMOX. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Mark Gruber is our guest today, answering your tree questions, because he is a community forester. 314-436-7900. Let's go next to Don. Good morning, Don.
Hey, yeah, I'd like to have Mark speak about the Missouri Champion Tree Program, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. What is the Missouri Champion Tree Program?
So, as I talked about earlier with that tulip tree, that's the biggest one of its kind. So we actually have a register of the biggest tree of the species that are native to Missouri that we keep track of. And I will say historically. So right now, the program is in a little bit of flux, just because we've restructured our agency, and we're lacking some resources to be able to monitor that program. If you think you have a really super big tree, that's a species that's native to Missouri, go ahead and give us a call, and we'll put it on a list. Might come out and take some measurements of it. And once that program gets back up and running, we give a nice little plaque that recognizes the tree that you get if it's the biggest one of its kind. And typically we come back out about every 5 years and remeasure them.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
And it reminds me of when I have been to the Redwood Forest in California. Mm-hmm. Have you been there?
I have.
I mean, if you're a tree guy, you have to go to the Redwood Forest.
Absolutely.
The one, I'm not talking about Muir Woods near San Francisco. I mean, the National Redwood Forest, which is hours north of there.
Right.
Very in the Lost Coast. I seriously will say it might be my favorite place in the world.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
The height of the trees. I have a picture on Instagram that I just found. I'm remembering being there. The tree that I was standing next to was 286 feet tall, 75 feet around, and weighed 1.5 million pounds.
Yes.
Yep. It's incredible. The picture shows me as a tiny dot next to the tree.
They are majestic, and there's just something about those big old trees that speaks to a lot of people, whether you're a forester or a tree nerd like me or not. The history, you know, that those things have seen, it's breathtaking. I measured a really large white oak up in Lincoln County last week that may be the biggest white oak, and it was, you know, takes your breath away. Just dropping acorns everywhere. Of course, I scooped up a few to try to grow a couple of babies, but yeah. They're amazing.
They are. Can't even see the tops of those redwood trees, mm-hmm. and it's so quiet and, you know, breathtaking is a good word. Okay, back to the calls. Joan, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, good morning. I live in the city, and recently the city's forestry department came through and removed several of the old pin oaks on the street. And I have looked at the list of trees the city's willing to plant to replace the old trees and done a little bit of research. I'm looking for something that will not get as big as the pin oaks, mm-hmm. and will ideally provide some good fall color. And I was thinking maybe either a black gum or some kind of maple would be a good replacement. And I was just wondering what your thoughts are on putting one of those in as a replacement. And I'd like to put it on the side where the pin oak was. Mm-hmm. And that is where all of the underground utilities are, the gas, the water, the sewer. So I'm just wondering which one might be a good replacement.
Yeah, so let me talk about the last part of that first. The city will come out once you figure out which kind of tree you want, and they will mark an appropriate location, taking those utilities into account, and they'll do all the utility locates for you to mm-hmm. make sure that nothing is damaged. I'm a huge fan of black gum trees or tuplos, another common name for it. To me, their fall color is more consistent than a lot of maples are. And as I mentioned previously, we are really becoming overplanted with various maple species. So I'm not trying to say bad things about them. I enjoy the fall color of a sugar maple like everybody else, but there's so many out there. If we have a problem that comes in, there's going to be a lot of food source. So I would strongly encourage you, if they have suggested black gum, go with the black gum.
Okay. Yeah, I was a little concerned also about the surface roots on a maple tree. I don't want to have to deal with that.
So, just real quick, surface rooting actually is not so much a function of the tree species as it is showing you that you have a compacted soil. Anything that you can do to loosen that soil up, which would be like putting compost down ahead of time, mm-hmm. and you could just broadcast it over the top of the soil. Don't rake up your leaves, chop them up with a mower and get those to settle in. That'll actually break up some of that soil compaction over time. And you should see less surface rooting.
Okay. And how big does a black gum tree get?
So that depends a lot on the site characteristics. So it's difficult to tell, but I would say a pretty good average is 50 to 60 feet. Pin oaks are going to get quite a bit bigger than that. Black gums usually top out in that neighborhood. But again, it's going to depend on how good your soil is.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joan, for calling in to the Garden Hotline. Lots of demand this morning for Mark's expertise on trees. Mike, you're up next.
Yeah, good morning. I have a question about a buckhorn. I guess it's a bush that's by our deck. It's about 10 feet tall. Mm-hmm. We're looking at doing some thinning of it for shaping. And so the question is, out of a 10-foot bush, how much of that can you actually cut back, or should you cut back? And when would be the right time to do that?
Okay, let me touch on the time first. The time for pruning, the best time is actually always the dead of winter. So December, January, February. You can also do kind of the dead of summer as well. So July, August time frame isn't bad either. It's kind of second best. But dead of winter, which is going to be coming up here before not too long, would be your best time. You want to keep in mind that if you're thinning out a tree or shaping a tree or a shrub, it's always going to want to try to become the shape that it's intended to become. So be careful once you decide to go down that path, because you're committing to an ongoing process. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying that you're going to be doing that same pruning work repeatedly. But you never want to remove more than about 25% of the total canopy. Because if you do that, and once you start to get close to that 25%, the tree or shrub is going to tell you. Because what you're doing when you prune that off, you're pruning off the leaves, which produce energy from the tree. And so the tree responds by putting on a lot of growth all of a sudden, because it's a starvation response. It's got to have leaf area to create energy for itself. So never more than 25%. Keep it that amount or less. And I would probably go like half that. To make sure that you don't produce a lot of sucker growth that's going to end up defeating the purpose of why you pruned it in the first place.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Bill, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Yes, about 20 years ago, I planted a row of pecan trees that I had gotten from the Missouri Department of Conservation, and only 1 year did they seem to bloom. I've never gotten any pecans. Do you have any suggestions of nutrients, minerals, fertilizer, anything to possibly increase productivity or get them to produce pecans?
Sure. So I missed. Sorry. How long ago did you say you planted them?
About 20 years ago.
About 20 years ago. Okay. They should be starting to flower and produce nuts now. Usually it takes pecans, and it depends. If you got one of our improved cultivars or varieties, then they tend to start setting fruit a little bit earlier. But 15 to 20 years is not out of line for the length of time that it takes for a tree to mature to the point where it starts putting on flowers and then fruit. You don't want to put anything down unless you have a soil test done, and you can contact the University Extension office that's closest to you. There's one at the Botanical Garden and various ones around the city, and they will actually do a soil test, help you through that process. I think it costs $20, and you just dig a little area of soil up and send it to them, and they will tell you what nutrients you might be missing. And you can specify, hey, I've planted pecans, and I want to make sure I'm getting a good fruit crop, and they'll tell you if there's anything missing. You're probably not missing anything. It may also be a sunlight exposure deal, because you need a lot of sunlight for those trees to produce flowers and then fruit. So if they're not getting full sun, they're going to bloom less.
All right. Thank you. They're in full sun.
Okay. Yeah. Do that soil test then. That should help you out.
All right. Good question. Thanks, Bill. Mark Gruber, community forester, answering your questions about trees this morning, a special edition of the Garden Hotline. We are going to continue with your phone calls in just a moment on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. It is the Garden Hotline, co-hosted by Tom Petty. Mark Gruber is here, a community forester, and he is with the Missouri Department of Conservation. Honeybees and trees go hand in hand, in my opinion. Bill, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Yes, I have a red buckeye that I bought around Springfield, Missouri, and I brought it to Southern Illinois, and it's lost its leaves, but it's got buds, and I think it's still viable. But what about sunlight needs and just general things about it?
Yeah, so it's not uncommon for a red buckeye to be devoid of leaves this time of year. They actually are one of the first trees to lose their leaves. It's one of the downsides of a buckeye. They don't tend to be very attractive in the fall, but those red flowers will more than make up for it. I have one in my yard, and I love it. If you give it some partial shade, that's probably the best. You'll tend to get a little bit less early leaf drop. It won't look quite so bad coming into August if you can give it some afternoon shading, ideally. But it's not the end of the world if you've got it out in full sun. Just expect that by the end of August, you're probably not going to have a leaf left on the tree. A well-drained site would be good. So something where the water moves through the soil is going to be important for you.
Yeah, I'm afraid that most people tell me it doesn't have enough sunlight, but it gets morning sun. And it just doesn't grow very tall so far.
Yeah, no, they're not fast growing, and they're not going to get real big. 20 to 30 feet probably is about the ultimate height you're going to end up. You might get a little bit more out of them, but it's not a really big tree. It's going to stay pretty small statured.
Yeah, and I've had to put a tomato cage with a gutter lining on it to keep the deer from eating the bud off the top or two.
Absolutely. Yeah. Gonna have to have deer protection pretty much anywhere around here.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Bill. Up next, we have Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Go ahead with your question. Go ahead.
Yes, I have an overgrown evergreen tree that outgrew the fence line. When is the best time to cut that tree back?
You want to wait until the winter time. Just understand that if you still want the tree there, if you cut the foliage off of any kind of evergreen, eastern red cedar, pine, spruce, whatever, if you cut the branch too far into the trunk, so you cut all the foliage off, that branch is going to die. Evergreens don't have any ability to resprout. So just if you like want it for screening or something, just make sure that you don't trim all that foliage off, and then you should be okay.
Okay, and you say wait till the winter time.
Yeah, December, January, February would be great.
All right, thank you, and have a nice day.
All right, you too. Thanks, Dave. Up next, we have Tom. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Yes, good morning, Mark. I have some questions about transplanting pawpaw sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
I dug several on Wednesday and got most of them in the ground, but I wanted to transplant a couple down at my daughter's in Collinsville, and they got a lot of rain. Is it should I wait till it's dried out a little bit, or can you put them in wet soil like that?
You'd be okay as far as the soil moisture is concerned, but I would actually wait until the leaves drop off of the tree. It's kind of stressful for them to be moved with the leaves on because they're still transpiring water, and you're going to be disturbing some of that root system, right? So it's not as efficient as absorbing water, so it can't really replace it. The other thing to keep in mind is that pawpaws form colonies, so they have root suckers, basically, and so you've got lots of stems that pop up, but it's all one tree, all connected together. So just be really careful, because sometimes you think you're digging a stem and you're going to have plenty of root system, and it might have one root connecting it to the rest of the grove of pawpaw, but that individual may not have a lot of roots on it. So pawpaws can be very tricky to move.
Well, I've already dug them, so
gotcha. good luck.
Yeah, a couple of them had good root secondary roots, and a couple just had, like you said, you know, just a couple. So I think it probably will be real tricky. And I've heard that it's better to put them along streams, or is that true? Or will they grow upland, you know, in clay, or what?
Yeah.
What do you suggest this?
So they don't have to be really soaking wet, but they do like a pretty nice soil. So anywhere that you've got a moist but well-drained soil, which is what every tree really prefers. So, you know, all that means is it's what you would call a good-looking soil. It's where you'd want to plant your tomatoes or your corn or something like that. that's where pawpaw's really going to shine, because that's the areas that it tends to grow in the woods. So somewhere where you've got a deeper soil, if it's really heavy compacted clay, you're probably not going to have very good luck with pawpaw, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you, Tom. Up next on the Garden Hotline, we have Steve. What is your question?
Yes, good morning. I have two Chicago fig trees. They're both potted in about 12-inch pots, and they're 12 to 14 inches tall. I want to eventually put them in the ground, but what should I do with them now in this area?
So you don't want to keep stuff in containers very long. So as soon as you can get them in the ground, you know, this fall period, again, wait for the leaves of the other trees to drop off. I will say that's not a cultivar I'm familiar with. Is that going to be fully winter hardy here for you?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Then wait until leaf off. So, you know, again, probably mid to late November, all the leaves have dropped off the trees, and then you can go ahead and get them out of those containers and get them in the ground.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling in and asking your question of Mark Gruber, who is a community forester in the St. Louis region, one of two for the Missouri Department of Conservation. Donna, you are up next on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi. I have a question about a black gum tree. You were talking about it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So my neighbor has this magnificent black gum tree, and I loved it. So I asked the horticulturalist to come and plant one for me, and mine looks totally different. I didn't realize there was more types of black gum. The tree that I have seems to have some, it looks like maybe bugs are eating the leaves. They're not shiny leaves. They're very dull, not very attractive at all. But so my question about the black gum is, do you suppose that this is some kind of disease or bugs that are on the leaves? And do you know what type of a black gum has bright, shiny leaves all year round? Well, you know, while they're on the tree.
Yeah. So most black gum will have those shiny green leaves. But there are selections, what we call a cultivar, which just stands for cultivated variety. And those are essentially clones, and they're picked for, you know, a trait such as really good fall color or a resistance to a particular insect or disease. So it's possible that they just have one that's a different cultivar and you have a straight species or a different cultivar. A lot of times, so that tree is fairly new transplanted, like within the year.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
It's duration. There's no way I'm going to pull it up. I've been there about 5 years, I guess.
Okay. Sometimes the lack of that glossy leaf is a reflection of the health of the tree. So it could be that your tree's battling through some stressors of different kinds. You know, it's been droughty, so if it hasn't gotten a lot of supplemental watering, that can affect it. I wouldn't worry about too much about any kind of insect activity this late in the season, because leaves have pretty much done their thing by about midsummer. And then they're just basically water pumps for the rest of the year. So if you're seeing some leaf feeding or leaf damage, don't get too concerned about it. But really watch it when it comes out in the springtime. And if it's starting to have some issues, then you want to call an arborist.
All right. Thanks, Donna, for calling in to the Garden Hotline. We're going to continue taking questions from Mark Gruber. We've got one more segment left, the last chance. So if you are on the line, we will try to get to you. Stay tuned on KMOX. Trees and more trees on the Garden Hotline today. We're going to do a little lightning round with your questions, so we're going to have to be quick. Ken, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
I've got a newly planted Japanese maple, and I have put pine needles around the base. Is there any problem by doing that? I just like the looks of it.
That's a good mulch.
So sorry. Go ahead. Say that again.
Nope, not at all. That's a good mulch, so you shouldn't have any issues with it.
Okay. Next question for Dee Dee. You are on the Garden Hotline.
Yes. Hi. I have a Japanese maple, not the cascading feathery leaf type, and a Concordia oak. When can I trim them up a little bit?
Dead of winter time. So December, January, February is the best time.
Okay. We are rolling. Bob, you're next for Mark.
Yeah, I got four white pines all in a row, and one of the four
is dropping a black sap on the ground. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, that can happen from several different reasons. It can be some insect feeding that's going on. So what you think is sap is actually droppings from insects. There's a variety of different aphids that will actually get on the branches, and they create what's called honeydew after they feed, and it makes it really sticky and nasty underneath. Generally, they're not a real big problem. But if you're starting to see symptoms like, you know, the tree's yellowing or it's dropping some needles that it shouldn't be dropping, then it's time to get somebody out there to take a peek at it for you.
Okay, good question. Fred, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Yes, good morning. I've always been curious about what parts of a tree I cannot see, in other words, underground. So I wondered if you can give me like an executive summary elevator speech on what the root distribution would be. I guess the ground is all even all around, like in an open field. I assumed it would be more or less symmetrical. But if there, let's say, example, you plant it next to a parking lot concrete, you're maybe 10 feet away from that. What does a tree do? Does it compensate going the other way, or does it just grow slower or what?
Yeah, so roots are going to grow where there's adequate minerals, water, and oxygen. Those three things are vital. And that's where they're going to, they don't have sensors or brains or anything. But as they grow out away from the tree, when they hit areas that are rich in those things, then they're going to proliferate and really take off and grow in that area. Underneath pavement, unless there's cracks or splits in that pavement or water or oxygen are getting through, they're just not going to grow there. So they will grow in other directions, again, where the goodies are present.
All right, let's go next to Ann. Your question for Mark Gruber.
Hi there. Good morning. I just wanted another opinion. We had a beautiful walnut tree. It's got to be at least 50, 55 plus years old on the side of our house, trimmed. And we had indicated where we wanted a couple branches trimmed. Unfortunately, we weren't there when they trimmed it. They took a lot more branches, all the lower branches, to the trunk. And what we have left now is a canopy of branches up at the top. We were upset, talked to the guy, he said, oh, it's going to make the tree healthier. Would you agree with that?
Not necessarily. Again, not being able to see the tree, it's difficult for me to say, but we always want to be careful of doing what's called stacking or pruning cuts. So if you had two limbs coming out of the tree on the same side and they pruned one above another and took both of those off, that can cause a problem that's called sun scald. So that bark needs protection from the sun. It actually is essentially a sunburn. So that's a possibility, unfortunately.
Okay, next question comes from Mark. You're on the Garden Hotline. Hello, Mark.
Yes, I've got a question. Missouri Conservation's really against the Bradford pear, but in a lot of areas we have this vine that acts like an umbrella over the tops of the trees that I see that is a major problem. Do you know what type of vine I'm talking about?
It's hard to say. It's possible that it's wild grape. That vine tends to grow and cover over the top of a lot of trees. But there's also, unfortunately, some invasive vine species, kudzu being one of those, unfortunately, that can do the same thing. That's going to be more typical down in the southern part of the state. But we do have spots of kudzu here in the St. Louis area, unfortunately. Wild grape is actually a native, so it's not a bad vine, but you just want to cut it down off the trees if you can.
Well, Mark, I know you've been with the Missouri Department of Conservation for a long time, but you were telling me you might have a new venture coming up?
Yeah, looking at a chance for retirement sometime in the future. So I am starting up my own consulting firm, and if anybody wants to contact me to come out and take a look at their trees or walk through their woods, or if they're interested in doing some prescribed fire to manage their property, they can get a hold of me at rxfireandforestry@protonmail.com.
Do it one more time.
Rx Fire and Forestry, all spelled out, at protonmail.com.
All right, sounds good. You've really spruced up this show, I would say. It's been tremendous. And if I have any more puns, We're going to be sycamore puns. But thanks, Mark. It's been fun to talk about trees.
Thank you.
We had a lot of demand for calls, and you did a great job, so appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate
Hope
it.
To have you back. Mm-hmm. That's going to do it for this edition of the Garden Hotline on KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.